I'd like to greet you this morning. My name is Andrew. I'm the pastor here. We're glad you're with us today. You may look around. There's some strange-looking people. That's just our church. And then there are some people wearing Halloween costumes today, and we're glad you're here. We got a big trunk-or-treat thing set up outside. Kids, we're glad to have you too. Folks are wondering what I am, and if you can't tell, it's total package. So that's my that's my costume this morning. We're supposed to be celebrating our fifth birthday outside in the park today, and just like on Easter, it didn't happen the way we wanted it. It rained. You know how on Jeopardy they give you the answers first to the question? So here are the answers. You get your car detailed, or you're wearing white suede shoes, or Munger rents a tent. What's the question? How do you get it to rain in Dallas? So there you go. Thank you, God. Anyway, we're so blessed to be here. It's going to be a great day anyway. And I want to particularly address the folks sitting downstairs in Overflow. I know it's maybe not ideal for you. We're glad to have you this morning. And you may not know this, but our nurseries are full this morning, which is a good problem. It's still kind of a problem. There's nothing we can do about it. So if you're carrying a little one around you and shaking him or her, getting to be quiet, we bless you. And we're okay with the noise of children. We'd rather have that noise than the silence of empty nurseries. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, today is our fifth birthday, but I want to tell you about something that happened 6 years ago. 6 years ago, this building was empty, hadn't been renovated. There was a construction fence around the outside of it. And I'd come in from time to time and duck through the fence and bring a flashlight. There's no power, no heating, no air, and walk around inside and kind of look around at the place. And it was a little bit spooky, you know, it was a big, empty old church. I remember at the time just thinking, I wonder what God's going to do with our church once we renovate it and start it again. And I wasn't even sure if it would ever really happen. 6 years ago, I wasn't sure that 5 years ago anybody would show up. Now there's people here every Sunday. There's so many people here this morning that every seat in our sanctuary is taken and our overflow seating is full and our nurseries are full. We used to not have any money. When we opened, we ran with a deficit. Holland Park, the larger church that started us, raised millions of dollars and fronted the money for us to start as a congregation. We ran a deficit. We didn't have any money. Now we have money in the bank. We can pay our bills. Every week when we started, I was always thinking we were 2 weeks away from closing. There's a few people here this week, half will be there next week, and then we're going to close in the third week. Now, it's taken a lot to say I no longer worry about that, even though I'm kind of a glass half empty type guy, I think a lot of times. I know we're going to have people here. But I wonder if this is just if this is all there is, you know? Like, is that the point? Is the point for us to have money in the bank and be able to put on events in the park and have our church full on Sunday mornings? Is that the point? Is that why people at Highland Park, and some of you are here today, is that why people at Highland Park gave millions of dollars to reach other people's kids and grandkids they'll never meet this side of the grave just so we could put people in the seats on Sunday morning? Is that the point? I'm not sure. I don't want it to be if it's anything I have anything to do with. I'd like to welcome you here today and let you know, my name is Andrew, I'm the pastor, as I said, and I know we have guests among us, and you should know this, we say this every week. Whatever your week's been like or your life's been like, whatever you look like, whether you believe what we believe or you vehemently disagree with us, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcome in this place this morning. Let's pray. So God, we pray that you take my words and speak through them. Do something better and greater than me. God, we pray that you take our thoughts and think through them. Give us holy insight, Lord. Show us who we really are and who you are. And then, God, we pray that today, even today, like in this service, that you would take our lives and you'd change them. You'd fill them with love to share with your world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We're no longer worried if we can pay our bills. We're no longer worried if anybody's going to show up on Sunday morning. But I don't think that's really what I'm interested in, what we're interested in anyway. We're not just trying to have an organization that functions. If that's the case, I'd like to go elsewhere. I remember I heard a guy named Bill Hybel speak 9 years ago, and it was what caused me to go into the pastoral ministry. He said, "What is it about the world that breaks your heart? What do you have a holy discontent for?" I've shared this with some of you before. And I realized at the time that I had a holy discontent for the church. Churches like this all across America. I was tired of being around churches that are dying and not living. Churches that were retreating and not advancing. Churches that were just aging towards the grave rather than filled with young people and vibrancy. And I said, I want to go to seminary, be a part of those kind of churches. And I can tell you at that time, even then, I wasn't just interested in being a part of a church that had the seats full and the bank full on Sunday morning. I'm interested in something a lot more than that. And here's the good news. What we're praying for and want to be about as a church is exactly what Jesus gave the church to do. We're going to begin a new sermon series today on the book of Acts. There are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are these theological biographies of Jesus. But the rest of the New Testament is about what happened in the early church. There are some letters to churches. And the book of Acts is like the first theological history of what happened when the church began. And we're going to begin way at the very beginning and work through it for the next several weeks of the book of Acts, because it strikes me there's no better place to go to figure out what we should be about as a church. Now that we've actually made it, now that our doors are not going to close next week, what's the next step? So you can pull out your program if you'd like. If you have a pen, I'd love for you to grab it out. Maybe you have a pen in your seat back. If you're downstairs in the overflow, maybe you can find one around. If not, you might just want to make it pay attention to this. Here we are on page 5 of your program. We're going to look at the beginning of the book of Acts. Now, when we printed our programs, I told our folks to include verses 3 through 11, but I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 first. I changed my mind, and then we're going to join in verse 3, okay? Here we are, the book of Acts. Now remember, one of the things we believe around here is that the scripture is the words on the page, but the word of God is what happens when it's read aloud in a context of prayer. So be expecting God to speak through our church through these words. So listen for the word of God as I read from the words of the scripture. In the first book, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote Acts. Luke is part 1, Acts is part 2. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Those are the first two verses of the book of Acts. He's saying, I wrote another book and it was about what Jesus did. Here we are, verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Remember, the Christian faith is not some kind of fairy tale that we screw up our eyes to believe. It's based on evidence. Way back in the first century, people really met the risen Lord. They were convinced. And whatever it would take you to be convinced that Jesus, who was dead, was now raised from the dead, is the same proof it would take them in the ancient world. And he convinced them by many convincing proofs. Verse 4, while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem. Remember, he's crucified and raised again in Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They're sort of asking, is this the end times when you're going to kind of overflow all the evil powers of the world? Kicked out the Romans from Jerusalem, be the Messiah on David's throne. Is this the end times? Here's what he says. This is not the point of the sermon, but I find this very interesting. He says, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. He says, God's timing is God's timing. It's not up to you to worry about. But here's your responsibility. Now here, pay attention. Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going and they're gazing up toward heaven, it's sort of a funny thing. They're just looking open mouthed up there. While they're staring up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes, angels, stood by them. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? That's Jesus, who has been taken up to heaven. He's going to come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven. And what we say here when we read scripture is, this is the word of God for the people of God, and you say, thanks be to God. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Everything the disciples had believed in, it turned out to be true. He was exactly who he said he was. And their question is, what's next? What now? Is this the end times? What's going to happen, Lord? They're all eager. In a similar way, it might be our question. What's next? We've made it 5 years. We can pay our bills. People come on Sunday morning. What's next? What now? And Jesus says a couple of really key things. Here in verse 8, If you have a pencil, you might want to circle the word power. You will receive power, that's worth circling, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, and that's worth circling. You can circle the word power, and you can circle the word witness. And then underline this, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. See, it turns out that the church is not just a religious organization that just functions for its own sake. The church is not the religious equivalent of a social club. We don't just come here and pray, but act the same way as the Dallas Sports and Social Club. We don't worry about filling up our seats the way that they may worry about at AT&T Stadium. Now, we care about organization, we care about safety, we care about paying our bills and all that stuff. We want the lights to run, the air conditioning to work. But the church is about power. In my house, the Ninja Turtles are really popular. And my five-year-old likes them too. And these are nunchucks, okay? But if you squint and you turn your head a little bit, it kind of looks like sticks of dynamite, don't you think? Like green sticks of dynamite, kind of. Just work with me, okay. You know, the Greek word for power is the same word that we use for dynamite. It's not like this like soft, inoffensive thing. It's a power that actually accomplishes things. It can break the stones. It says back in the book of Jeremiah, is not my word like a hammer that can break the stones? The power of God actually accomplishes things. I'm wondering if what God has been doing for the first 5 years is to give a platform for more working out of his power. I gotta tell you, if it's just about filling seats on Sunday morning and having a nice service and a good children's ministry, I don't know if this is what I wanna do. But if it's about the power of God, if it's about the power of God, some of you have heard me talk about this before. I love talking about this. Some of you have heard me preach this sermon at your wedding. Now, from time to time, they do these promotions at 7-Eleven. And they say, any size fountain drink for 99 cents. You seen this? Now, Eric, come on. Maybe you work for Coca-Cola. I'm glad for you. But everybody knows you don't need more sugar water than that, right? But I have a bad sweet tooth. Bad. It's my wife's fault. She's just too sweet. And so for me, when I can get any size fountain drink for 99 cents, I always go with the biggest possible size, the double gulp. Now, nobody needs this. You don't even feel good after drinking all of this, but I can't help it. There's the thing. I put it out. I want more of that sugar water. What if a lot of us in church are just sort of settling just for just the bare minimum? What if a lot of churches can fall into the habit of just becoming like a religious organization? We do some good things. We collect food for the hungry every now and then. We visit people in the hospital. Nothing wrong with that. We sort of settle for this. And what I believe Jesus tells the church in the book of Acts at the very, very beginning is, I'm going to give you power to do a whole lot more. I got to tell you, friends, my prayers for this church is that we're not going to be the gulp kind of size church in East Dallas. And I'm not talking about how many people come or how much money we have. I'm talking about the power of God looking like this, overflowing, making us astounded, making our hair stand up about what God will do. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will have power. We had a thing a couple weeks ago. For folks in our church who've been married 5 years or younger. And my wife and I were part of the initial panel. We've been married a little bit longer than that. We were talking about marriage and some of our experiences. And my wife made a point of saying that she wanted the folks who'd married 5 years and younger from our church to really come and ask for help when they first started having marriage problems. I gotta tell you, I am so sick of people coming to me when their marriage is already dead on the floor. I am sick of hearing about one more marriage that's breaking and the sin that's at and the hurt that's in that. I'm so sick of writing down names on my prayer card in my Bible and praying in my living room early in the morning for people in our church. I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty. I know it's difficult, but I'm telling you, you know what I want to be? I want to be a witness to the power of God restoring marriages in East Dallas. I want to hear about it and know only God can do that. You see what Jesus says there? He says, I'm going to give you power and you will be my witnesses. In other words, you'll see what's happening. You'll tell other people about it. No, he doesn't say, you're the ones who make it happen. He says, I make it happen. It's my power. It's my Holy Spirit. And you're my witnesses. I'd like this to be the kind of church when people don't know what else to do in their marriage, they come and they hear that and experience the power of God restoring it. I'm so tired of hearing how it always goes in one direction. I want God to start going in the other direction, and I hope you'll pray with me with it. I hope this is a church that prays for marriages and it sees the impossible happen. I'm sick of it happening another way, and I want to see the power of God. God, I want to be a witness to that in this church. Now, one of the things we're blessed about around here, we got all different kinds of people. All different kinds of people. And I know some of your stories, particularly those of you who are struggling financially. And you're my friends. I pray for you. We have you over to our house for dinner. I'm sick of endemic structures of poverty in this city that push people down and keep them down. Do you know right down the street, there is an apartment that the city has tried to shut down over and over again that some of my friends live in, infested with bed bugs, not fit for human habitation. I'm not naive. I understand that people who don't have a lot of money can't live in the best places in our city. There's a difference, though, between a place that's at least safe and decent and a place when you're cramming three people in a room that's not fit for one of them. And I'm sick of hearing the stories about that and people's stuff being infected by bed bugs. I want to see the power of God overturn some structures in this city. There are people who make money off of slums down here, and I think it's wrong, and I want to see the power of God change their heart so they repent, and people who don't have two nickels to rub together have a decent place to live. Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. I would like to witness that. God, would you do that for our church? Because I'm tired of seeing it, and I want to see the power of God. Let me tell you something else. Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses to my power in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, at the time of Acts was written, virtually all the early Christians were Jews. And the center for everything for the Jews was the temple in Jerusalem, Mount Zion. Jerusalem is in the center, and all the rest of the world revolves around it. Jesus says, you're going to start being witnesses to my power in Jerusalem. And in the next few weeks, we'll see some of these instances. But you're not going to stay in Jerusalem. So imagine like a concentric circle right here on this button. This is Jerusalem. Judea and Samaria are the surrounding regions around it. And then he says, to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Do you know what he says? He says there's no place you're not supposed to go. No place you're not supposed to carry my message. You know what that means for me? That means there's no place in East Dallas that we're not supposed to be concerned with or pray for or care about. I'm not talking about people who are coming to our church. I'm talking about when there's a problem in our community, our church should be the first people that go to it. I want to see that kind of power at work in our community. I want to see folks who haven't been in church in a long, long, long time. I want to see them hear the power of God and come back to faith. Whether this church or another church, I don't care. I want to see that happen. On the very first Sunday that we started, the very first Sunday, I met my friend Kenneth. Kenneth had this wild story. He had been kidnapped the night before. He was a cab driver. He thought he was going to be murdered. He was kept in the trunk of the car, and ultimately he was freed. And he told me that story right over here exactly 5 years ago. Well, Kenneth became part of our congregation. He struggled. He had some own difficulties. He didn't have any money to give, really, although what little he had, he would give. He's the kind of person that might have seemed unimportant, that you might overlook. But Jesus says, you're my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, everywhere. And everybody needs to hear about the power of God. And through the power of God, Kenneth became part of our congregation. And we loved him. He was over from my house for dinner a bunch of times. He was in a small group here. And a few weeks ago, as I shared with you, we got the word that he had died. died of a heart attack in an apartment that we were able to get for him down at Dickinson Place. If there's lonely people in our community, I want the power of God to reach out to them, to bring them in. People who are different from me, different from you. I want to be the kind of church where different people come together in the power of God. We can't make it happen, but Jesus says, I'm going to give you power. Things are going to happen. If it's just about filling our pews on Sunday morning, it's a waste. But if it's about the power of God, what God can do in somebody's life, that God can take the heart of someone who's anxious and give them peace, that God can take men and women whose relationships are frazzled and pull them back together. I had lunch with a guy on Friday. He's here this morning, a friend of mine, an entrepreneur in our church. And he talked about the work that God has been doing in his heart to realize that even his business, he owes to God. You know what I want to see? I want to see men in business who think the church is just something for women or children hear about the power of God, have their hearts captured, and then come back to God and say, whatever it takes, Lord, how can I serve you in the business world? That's what I want to see. I want to see power. I want to be a witness to it. I don't want to preside over a religious organization on Sunday mornings. I want to see God work. I want to see the fatherless find their rest. I want to see the lost become found through the power of God. Now notice the key word there. We're witnesses. We don't make it happen. We don't have anything. We'll probably screw it up. But it's not about us. Jesus says, you don't have to do it. Just be my witnesses. Oh, Lord Jesus, I would love to be your witness to those sorts of things. Marriage is healed. The sick healed. Those who are disturbed in their right minds. Structures of poverty overturned so that people who don't have any money have a place to live that's clean and decent. That's what I want to see. What about you? What about you? What do you want to see? We could just settle for this and people would think it was nice and the church is full on Sunday mornings. I'm not interested in that. I want to be a part of a church that is praying and expecting for an overwhelming reality of the power of God. The same power that breaks chains in the New Testament breaks it today. The same power that pulls back men and women together in the New Testament can do it today. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is out working in our community, and that's what I want to see in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.